Good evening, folks. This is The Weird Part, and I'm your host, Vincent Trewell. This is my first episode of 2024. I realize I'm recording it on January 18th, but due to a long and fascinating list of excuses, by which I mean very good reasons, this is the first one I was able to do. That's going to be something that is going to be drastically changing throughout the new year. Also, I'm not all that worked up about the new year because I'm going to be doing later in the next couple months as it approaches the real new year, a kind of esoteric kind of screwball, for lack of a better term, episode on the real New Year's and why it's much closer to April Fool's Day and the Julian versus Gregorian calendar and lore and things that involve why the new year should start in spring and not in the middle of winter. But I digress. Tonight I'm going to do something a little different, but I think you might find it interesting. I was inspired by presentation the incomparable David Metcalf gave a couple of years ago, called Gas Station Grimoires. And that led me to thinking of a publication that I've read really my whole life, and that is the Old Farmer's Almanac. And it is chock full of folk beliefs and things that are sometimes approach folk magic. It takes astrology seriously and has advice for how to apply it to your daily life, and particularly to farming and crops and things like that. And eventually, I plan on doing this for Patreons only, but having short but frequent readings from the Old Farmer's Almanac. This may be longer than those will be on average. We'll see how it works out. But for tonight, I would like to do a reading, and it may not be word for word, but I will quote when it is a direct quote. From a chapter of the current edition of the Old Farmer's Almanac, from page 186 to 191, titled Cures, Charms, Ointments, and Prescribed Undertakings. For brief relief in a world of hurt. And from here until I make it clear that I'm not quoting anymore, I am quoting directly. In ancient Egypt, circa 2500 BC, the treatment for a wound, a sign that an individual had been visited by evil spirits, involved donkey feces. Records from the period indicate that it worked. Modern science, circa 2015, suggests that the manure's efficacy derives from antibacterial agents and probiotics in the animal's digestive system. Close quote. Don't try this at home. That's my absolute last home remedy I'm using. To resume, over time, physicians learned of the antibiotic effects of other substances, herbs, minerals, milk, and water, and washed wounds with them. By 400 BC, Greek physician Hippocrates, from which the Hippocratic Oath of first do no harm, and from there comes. Hippocrates lived from 460 to 375 BC. We now return. Had added wine or vinegar to that list of options. In the centuries since, folk remedies or traditional medicine have proliferated around the globe primarily because they were perceived or proven to be effective. You may know a few and may have tried these or others. Nonetheless, we advise that you not try these at home and instead just read on. Whether you call them science or superstition, these medical treatments are amazing. In the year 410, cancer patients in the United Kingdom were treated with an ointment of goat's gallbladder and honey, while people experiencing half-dead disease, aka stroke, were encouraged to inhale the smoke of a burning pine tree. In the late 1700s, smoke again found favor as a nostrum, this time when delivered to the rectum. The smoke enema was believed to stimulate respiration, especially in drowning victims. Close quote. Or they may just have been blowing smoke up people's ass. Ching. Yes, thank you. To return, relieve headaches, hernias, and stomach cramps. Later, especially if administered while the patient consumed chicken broth, and cure cholera and typhoid. All of this could be done with smoke enemas, I'm told. Meanwhile, charmers prescribing cures for warts, a common ailment. One still in use involves rubbing the wart with a piece of raw meat and then burying it. The expectation is that as the meat deteriorates, so will the wart. By the late 19th century, people in the UK with tumors or an enlarged thyroid gland or goiter were told that they would be restored to health if they touched a hangman's hand, while those who had been bitten by a mad dog would seek relief by holding the key of a church door. Baldness was repeatedly cured by sleeping on stones, and fevers were broken by the consumption of willow tree tea. The latter may indeed have been efficacious, as willow contains salicin, a chemical similar to aspirin. In Ukraine, the way to bring a fever down was to drink tea spiked with honey and alcohol while standing in ankle-deep hot water. A straight shot of hard liquor taken with a raw egg was a solution for an ulcer. A cloth soaked in cognac and warm water, then pressed against the neck, was said to eliminate a sore throat. Well, for a stuffy nose, you're advised to bring a pot of chopped garlic to a boil and stand over it and inhale the fumes. In India, Ghana, and the Dominican Republic, the antidote for a common cold or cough varies around the world. They kind of repeat that, I guess. In India, it's a cup of boiling milk with 2 teaspoons of turmeric. In Ghana, halves of a peeled onion are placed on either side of a child's bed to absorb toxins in the air. In the Dominican Republic, the fix is a tea made by boiling 4 halves of passion fruit and 2 halves of onion in water, straining the liquid, and then sweetening the concoction with honey before imbibing it. Farmers in Italy's South Tyrol district have been easing aches and pains in hay baths for centuries. Legend has it that the practice began some 300 years ago when local farmers fell asleep in a meadow. Upon waking, they found that their discomfort had vanished. The farmers capitalized on this happy accident by inviting people to lie in holes in the ground, which the farmers covered them with dry hay. Today, visitors to area spas can replicate the experience indoors by lying on an air mattress or waterbed for 20 minutes while covered in boiled mountain grass. This, locals say, opens pores and stimulates metabolism, albeit more effectively with a week's worth of treatments. So if you do this for an entire week. In Turkey, folks suffering from rheumatism would soak in a barley bath. They might eat hedgehog meat to eliminate eczema, consume one pigeon egg per day for 40 days to cure asthma, lay a round slice of lemon on their forehead to cure a headache, relieve an earache with water dripping from a leak, which not quoting, but a leek is a similar to a onion, like a green onion plant. Or inhale the ashes of a burnt eggshell to staunch a nosebleed. In the United States, people who experienced jerking fits, epileptic seizures, just to break in, the terminology for a lot of ailments has gotten a lot more humane in recent years, as we can see here repeatedly. So those who had epilepsy pickup were advised to swallow the heart of a rattlesnake. When worn around the waist, rattlesnake skin was thought to prolong life. High blood pressure could supposedly be lowered if green Spanish moss was tucked into a person's shoes. An eel skin tied around the head diffused a headache. Tied into the hair, stimulated growth. A toothache would go away if a splinter from a pine tree that had been struck by lightning was used to pick the tooth. In the Ozarks, wounds were disinfected with turpentine or kerosene. Chapped skin was moisturized with possum fat, mutton tallow, or beeswax. And consumption broke up when, which I believe is the archaic term for pneumonia, or perhaps tuberculosis. I'm sorry, that was congestion, not consumption. But congestion was broke up when onion and mustard poultices were applied to the chest. In South America, Inca is used found a use for every part of the native Malay tree. Skinus malay, aka Peruvian pepper. The sap had a laxative effect, the resin healed wounds, and the teas made from its leaves and bark prepared a panoply. Pardon my attempts at English, a panoply of ailments. In Canada, fever, pneumonia, or a cold was treated with a goose fat and mustard poultice plaster to the chest. Hot ashes bound in cloth and wrapped around the neck helped to relieve a sore throat. Bleeding wounds were bound in birch bark, and a combination of spruce, pitch, and grease was applied to skin rashes and burns. Plant parts, roots, stems, leaves, and berries were used to make teas for a variety of conditions: asthma, diarrhea, headache, muscle or menstrual cramps, sore throat, stomach ache, even labor contractions. In Southeast Asia, a cure for almost any cold, flu, or headache was coining. I am believing that this is pronounced Kaogyo. Kaogyo. Now they say Gao Yao, catching the wind. This was based on the popular belief that a body's blood contained too much wind, which needed to be relieved in order for the body to be relieved. Which needed to be released in order for the body to be relieved. That the elements, including wind, were in the human body. I'm just ad-libbed that there. The procedure itself involved applying warm oil to the chest, back, or shoulders, and rubbing a coin over the skin until the pressure caused red marks, which was taken to be a cue for the wind to exit. This was all compiled by the Old Farmer's Almanac editors, and is fascinatingly illustrated by Tim Robinson. So yes, that's a dose of the Old Farmer's Almanac. Some interesting beliefs. I would gather that this is a pretty historically accurate list of things people used to do. I realize that there is a lot of discontent with modern medicine, But compared to almost all the things I just listed, I'm going to stick with it. Thank you very much. This has been a bit of a lighthearted episode. I do love the Old Farmer's Almanac, and it is a treasure trove of modern day and past folk beliefs. That's kind of a unique institution. So yes, I hope that you enjoyed that. And I will be back with much more in the coming days, weeks, and months. This has been The Weird Part. I am your host, Vincent Trewell. Thank you, and good night.